Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Lee and Haley Overtime. This is our fourth iteration of the podcast.
Episode four, you mean?
Yes, and it is sponsored this time, brought to you by Damiano's, which is a... Damiano. What did I say?
You said Damiano's.
Oh, I did not.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, our friends over there at Damiano's, which we've enjoyed, by the way, it is so good. It is fresh, real Italian pizza. They also have sandwiches, too, which are fantastic. Mm-hmm. Your favorite is the margarita pizza, which is maybe the best margarita pizza we've ever had.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is a fantastic brand new restaurant in Lexington. If you haven't been, yeah, Lee and I took some of our staff members recently, maybe last week when we were out on a shoot, because Lee had been and was telling us their margarita pizza is the best margarita pizza you're ever going to have. And so we took the staff. I ordered the margarita. Oh, my gosh. The flavor, I literally was like, how is this the best pizza in the world? The quality of the ingredients, the heat level was perfect, as in like warmth, but also just... Oh my gosh, it was just so fresh.
My favorite pizza, besides the margaritas, is the Coach. Mm-hmm. And that's for all you meat lovers out there.
Yes, and it's located...
got everything you need. It's at 503 South Upper Street.
That's right.
Used to be the old Mellow Mushroom. And they've went in, gutted the thing. It's fantastic. It's got a beautiful little bar there. I love the bar top.
Mm-hmm.
And they all sometimes offer deals if you want to sit at the bar. So always inquire about that. Anyway, 503 South Upper Street. If you want to call them, 859-303-8373. Damiano.
Tell them Lee and Haley sent you.
Yeah.
The Lee and Haley Overtime Podcast. Anyway, yeah, thanks for listening today. Hope that you guys are doing well. I need to make a confession as we begin right now.
All right.
I'm feeling a little giggly.
Oh, because you had a couple of
I had half a glass of Prosecco because I did dry January. And so today is February 1st. And so I had my first sip of adult beverage in a month. And everyone at work was laughing because I literally have had maybe half a glass of champagne. And I feel very giggly. Like my head feels like it's a happy. Right. This is the ideal that you want from an adult beverage. Like I feel relaxed. Mm-hmm. I feel a little heady. My head feels kind of, it feels like the champagne is dancing around in my skull right now.
Yeah.
And I literally have had maybe 4 ounces.
Mm.
So, wow, your tolerance really goes down when you take a month off, which makes it really fun when you have half a glass in the middle of the workday. So thank you to our friends at, well, they're not sponsoring this, at the brand of Prosecco we bought for the show.
Okay.
So anyway, but yeah, so I'm proud of myself that I did full dry January. So if you're listening and you did dry January as well, Bridget, our executive producer on the Lee and Haley show, dropped some knowledge about it. She said most people, and she'll correct me, a lot of people drop out of dry January by January 3rd, 3 days in.
Well, life hits them right in the puss.
That's right. And then a large percentage drop out by January 10th. So a week and a half in. So if you made it the entire month like I did, okay, we need to chest bump. If we see each other in public, let's chest bump. Because we did the whole month and a bunch of losers didn't. They gave up. They're quitters.
So you're offering up a chest bump from any stranger that has done dry January.
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe the champagne's that's the champagne
really
talking.
Working on you, isn't it?
I get to keep my puffer coat on, though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I have an incredible high tolerance, and I'm not bragging, by the way. It's almost shameful.
Really?
Because I have friends that are much larger than me, and if we're all having drinks, I'm the last one standing. And I'm not proud of that, by the way. It's not a brag. I don't know what my chemistry is or my body makeup that allows me to not appear intoxicated.
But are you intoxicated? You just don't appear that way?
Well, I'll hit a buzz for a while, and then, I mean, the worst thing that happens to me if I drink too much, I would get sick.
Ugh.
But you would never know, and I've had lots of people tell me that. I didn't know you were drinking.
Oh, like if the next day you're like, I got sick last night?
They have no, well, yeah, but they don't, there's talk, I'm having a very coherent conversation with them, at least they believe that. Somehow I sell it. I was doing a radio show many years ago, and we had a state trooper come in and do a breathalyzer. It was for some sort of, you know, make sure you don't drive drunk campaign.
Yes.
And I blew, like, I don't know, a 2-something.
Because they give you alcohol ahead of time,
and we kept going in stages.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, one of the best episodes is Doctor. And maybe I'm a little like Dr. Johnny Fever, who, when he kept drinking, and it was the Kentucky State Police that were giving him the test.
Mm.
His reaction time got faster and better with every drink.
What?
And they're like, what's going on? Of course, he was a druggie, so whatever it did, you know, his character was played by Howard Hessman.
Okay.
But anyway, at the end of it, the cop said, Lee, I had no clue you were even intoxicated. He goes, yeah, the numbers are telling me what's going on with you, but your presentation.
But
is...
he was saying no outward signs that you, until he did the breathalyzer.
And there are many times I don't feel in control if I have been drinking a little too much, but I never give it away. I don't know why that is. I think maybe because of my work when I was a kid in young or a little older through high school and college was to always articulate and push my language.
What?
I would always try to properly say things. Oh. And so I'm, because I hated the way I sounded.
You were kind of always compensating.
Focused.
Trying to fix it. Yeah.
Right. And I think maybe that plays a part of it. And then I have a long line of alcoholism in my family.
Oh, so that helps too.
And I think that, yeah, they've given me the gift of tolerance. So they've sort of, on the crew side, not the Hamptons hide, by the way. I don't want people getting
upset. That's good. Shame one side of your family.
Well, the cruises were the place you go party. I mean, the Hamptons were the people that prayed for you.
Good, good. They prayed for the cruises.
Well, they fought the cruises a lot. You
oh,
know,
my
but,
gosh.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Now, they all got along eventually. Yeah. One of my best days, because, you know, I came from a divorced family.
Yep.
And I had to do a campaign in radio where we were giving away tickets to the Grammy Awards. Mm-hmm. And so we invented a contest called Lee's Grammy X-Rated Records or something. I don't know. And because it was, or Z-rated, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Point being, I would call my grandmothers, both of them, and they would read lyrics. And you had to guess what song it was. And the first caller through that knew the song that they were reciting lyrics to, you'd win a chance to get tickets to the Grammy Awards in New York.
Genius.
But we had to do a publicity photo, so I had to get these two women that did not like each other together. And they had a great time. I think we did it twice. We had to go do a photo session and all that, and they loved it. Mm-hmm. And now I have these giant, because they would put them in Walmarts, these cutouts of me, life-size, of me and my grandmother, and somebody framed them for me. It's the largest frame you've ever seen unless you go to a museum.
Sure. Where are they?
They're being stored.
They're being stored.
Yes.
But they literally are life-size,
yes,
and they're in frames.
And there's two of them, one with Kathleen and one with Phyllis.
Well, get those suckers out of storage.
Yeah, I don't know what I'd do with them.
I don't know.
Put them in the garage.
Take them to a museum. Just put them up and say
who
nothing.
Who would want to see that?
Who wouldn't? Grandmothers are comforting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even then, I had my typical uniform, jacket, tie, and jeans. Which I give credit to Seinfeld for that. He was the first guy. That's the comics uniform.
Yeah. Kind of casual on the bottom. That is your uniform. Like, you'll wear a full
business
suit.
Business up top, party on the bottom.
Sure, sure. The mullet of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of your comfort zone, is the jeans.
Yeah.
And then dressed up on top.
Right.
Back when we did news together, you always wore a full suit.
Yeah, well, I had to.
Yeah, you
we had
to,
those shots where we were sitting on the couch or something and you could see what I was wearing. I thought that was
not
professional.
Yes.
To read the news.
You thought that or you were told that by management?
Both.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I agreed with them.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Anyway, okay, so what is your beverage of choice these days? Because I did dry January, and on the Lee and Haley show that aired today, you shared that you did wet January.
When I was out in Vegas, I drank a couple of vodka martinis, extra filthy dirty.
And love it.
You got me on those.
I sure did. I introduced you to those.
Yeah, you did.
They're delicious.
And I like that because, and I know why, it's salty.
Mm-hmm. I know. When I first had a dirty martini, the next time I saw Lee, I was like, this is your drink. He was like, why? I was like, it is so salty, you're going to love it. Mm-hmm. And you were like, how have I not discovered these before? I could not drink a dry martini right now. It would kill me.
Yeah.
I would have to share it with the table.
Yeah.
I'll need to build back up to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a dry martini is great. I don't understand people that can do gin martinis. I hate gin. It tastes like a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I cannot do gin. And it's not one of those, some people don't like a certain beverage or adult beverage because of a bad experience with it. Like, you drank it when you were 14 years old and got sick. Not me. I've just never liked gin. I've had one gin cocktail that I can drink. And it was at a now closed restaurant in Lexington. And they had a...
And what was that name of that closed restaurant?
I don't want to say. But it was...
Jerry's. There's still one in Paris, by the way.
A Jerry's?
Yeah.
What's a Jerry's? I've never heard of one.
It's a restaurant.
Oh.
Yeah. It's kind of like Frisch's Big Boy.
Oh, okay.
It was a local version of that.
Jerry's Little Boy.
Yeah, they had the champ sandwich,
that
I think, is what it was called when I was a
was
little
weird.
Kid. That's where I started putting salt in my water. They always bring a thing of ice water, and I'd put salt in it, and then my brother started doing it, drive my parents crazy.
Yeah.
What are you doing that for? Stop it.
Stop it.
And I'd be chug, 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 chug.
Oh, yeah.
I need it.
I need this. Where was that? What was I talking about?
You were talking about a closed restaurant.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it was Renata's.
Oh, you happy now? Yes.
Yes.
Well, she's living the life large.
That's right.
Down chef, on a cruise ship.
Chef Renata Riley.
A yacht, I should say. A private yacht. She's a chef on a private rock.
Yes, yes.
Yacht.
Private yacht rock.
I was going to say yacht rock, I think.
No, yeah, she gets to travel and do her passion of cooking, but she opened, or she had many a restaurant in Lexington, but this is one that she had as well, Renata's, and she had a cocktail that she even told me, she was there, and she was like, oh, you're going to love this. And she said, it's gin and so-and-so, and I was like, I'm out. She was like, no, you're going to love it. It was like lemon, honey,
oh, yeah.
And on the rim of the glass, they put actual honeycomb.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you could not taste the gin at all. And that's the only way I could do it. But I feel like, what's the point in drinking a spirit if you can't taste it? So I like to have a drink, like a cocktail, where I can taste the spirit and appreciate its flavors. So I'm like, I could drink that. But I was like, it's a shame that you have to cover up the gin. Because there are, you know, gin is a craft.
I don't like scotch.
You don't like scotch?
No, that's gasoline.
I know guys do. I'm sure I've tasted scotch, but I don't know that I've ever really had it. This is why, because of that champagne, this is why I'm chugging my current obsession right now, Fresca, the OG sparkling water that I remember drinking as a child.
Fresca,
my mom would get it, and when we were kids, I would be furious. I'd be like...
Where's the Yoo-hoo?
Yeah, I'd be like, this is not full soda. This is not Mountain Dew. What are you trying to do? Fool us?
Yeah.
And I hated it, but now I'm obsessed with it. It's like the most flavorful sparkling water there
is. I don't like... what is it, the thing they put sometimes, vermouth. I don't like anything that coats my tongue.
Yeah.
And it has a medicine-y taste.
The only way I can do vermouth in a dry martini is if they just coat the glass with it. Like if they actually add it to the cocktail, it's gross.
Mm-hmm.
But vermouth, sometimes they'll just rinse the glass with it and pour it out.
I'm also weird about how I can switch around at one setting. Most people, if they buy a cocktail, they stay with that cocktail.
Yes.
I bounce around. I go, you know what, I feel like let's say I start with a rum and diet.
That's kind of your signature baseline.
Let's go, give me a margarita.
Whoa.
Then I'll jump to a white Russian.
Oh, Lee.
I do that all the time.
You do?
Yes.
I would be dead.
Doesn't bother me.
I would be dead.
I just want that taste. I want to go, you know, from savory to sweet.
Well, actually, I might be able to do that if you're sticking with liquor. But if you try to go back to beer or wine.
I can't drink beer at all. Beer is nasty.
Yeah, you hate beer.
It's awful.
Yeah. I love beer. I love beer for certain occasions, like a ball game, or I love a beer after, and I don't do it that often. I'm saying this like I do it all the time, like after skiing or playing in the snow. For some reason, a snow beer for me is ideal. I love an ice cold beer, like at a ski lodge or something like that. That to me is the ultimate.
Yeah.
Wine. What are your thoughts on wine? You wine?
The last time I drank wine was New Year's Eve, and I got a headache the next day.
That's
because
the thing
I didn't
with, even
hydrate.
If you don't drink too much wine, it's the, what are they, sulfites, tannins,
whatever
the heck
is in
it
there
is.
Dehydrates me crazy.
Yeah.
And my head was pounding the next day.
I want to get into the.
It sounds like the biggest. We're a bunch of alcoholics. No. All we've been doing is talking about cocktails this entire time.
We're American adults and we drink responsibly. It's okay to talk about it.
All right.
but we can move on. What do you want to talk about?
No, that's fine. Go ahead and finish your thought there with wine.
Well, I was going to say, I want to get kind of into the natural wine movement where it doesn't have the sulfites and stuff like that. Like Cameron Diaz has her new line of wines that are alcoholic, but natural. They don't have so many of the added stuff. I think it's Aveline. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but there's so many of those that I'm like, because that's something that will steer me away from wine is because even if I don't have a headache the next day, I feel like, I always describe it to my friends as feel cobwebby. My head feels like there's cobwebs in there. And it's just even after a couple glasses of wine, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, what else is going on? How's your health and fitness journey going? You went on your boys' trip to Vegas, and you said when you got back, you were getting after it.
Yeah,
how's
I don't know
it going?
If getting after it's the proper term, but I'm doing it.
You were peeking
it.
At it from around the corner.
I'm doing it. Yeah, I got a long way to go because I abused myself for 6 to 8 months eating cheeseburgers and whatever I wanted, and boy, does it show. But that's my fault.
Let me ask you this. You brought up being in a restaurant as a kid. What are some vivid kid restaurant memories you have?
Being
like places you went and certain things you ordered?
So I grew up in Winchester, and there was a restaurant called the Courthouse Inn.
Okay.
That was across from the courthouse. It was on the second floor. And it was the first time I saw white tablecloths. And my dad took me there for lunch.
For lunch?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought... well, this is where I belong.
Yep.
Why are we eating at McDonald's, Father?
When they offer this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they brought water and like a champagne glass or a wine glass. And I thought, this is where I should be.
Yes.
Why are we eating at the country store?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you people?
Yeah.
Where's my real parents?
This is when you first started formulating your opinion that you were snatched at birth.
Yes.
That you were picked up by the wrong
they
family.
They were happy to eat out of a tin cup.
Tin cup?
Yes.
Were you camping?
We didn't have good cutlery. We didn't have good silverware.
We had one tin cup.
We didn't have paper plates.
Sure.
And I don't know, why are we eating, you know, soup beans? And I mean, I love soup beans. Don't get me wrong.
I do too. They're a classic.
But every night, when there's fine dining, even in Winchester, we shouldn't be here. And we should be here.
Mm-hmm. And what opinion did your dad have?
Pay for it then, hoss.
Yeah. Because didn't he look at the prices and say, we're leaving?
No, that was my grandparents, and that was in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, okay. They walked into a similar nice
restaurant. Yeah, I talked them into going to some like Italian seafood place.
Yes.
And I thought, thank God I'm home. I can decompress.
Oh, here we are.
With people that understand me.
With my five different forks.
Yes.
My three different glasses.
And then they looked at the menu and went, we're out of here. We're going to the Western Sizzler.
Okay, didn't they make you leave?
Yes.
They like, actually,
we had to walk of shame.
Oh, gosh.
It's too expensive. We're not eating here. And then they took me to a Ponderosa or something.
Oh, gosh. The shame.
It's awful.
What did you love to eat when you were a kid? Like, if you guys did go to a restaurant or, like, what would you typically order?
I'd like to try new things, but
really,
yeah, I was always adventurous when it came.
Yeah,
now I don't like exotic. I'm not going to eat an octopus. I don't want something to fight me while I'm eating it.
Sure,
I saw that once on Man versus Food or something. The guy ate an octopus, and the tentacles were still moving as he's slurping it, and it grabbed hold of his face to try to stop itself from going down the man's gullet. I thought, why? I don't want to fight.
I would rather look
from
at
my food.
Crime scene photos than see that.
So I don't like that stuff.
No, that's disgusting.
But I do like to mix it up.
Sure. When I was a kid, I vividly remember going to Cracker Barrel and ordering the popcorn shrimp with steak fries and drowning the whole plate in cocktail sauce. I also vividly remember going, I guess I have a lot of seafood memories. My mom would treat us occasionally. We'd get to go to Captain D's.
Yeah. It's good.
So good.
Hush puppies are great.
I would love to eat Captain D's right now. And at our local one, I've told this on our show before, but I don't know if it was everywhere, but at least at our local one in Lebanon, Tennessee, if you ordered a kid's meal and cleaned your plate, you'd go to the counter and they'd give you a blow pop. If you brought up your empty plate to show that you ate your whole meal, they'd give you a blow pop. And I would always be like, sour apple or nothing, girl. And they'd give it to me. It was so good.
Speaking of,
sure.
You reminded me of, why don't you tell the folks about, I think, maybe the funniest moment we've had on the show.
Okay, so we were having a
this
pretty,
wasn't planned.
No, this wasn't planned at all. We
got in an argument.
Yes, we have many a special moment on the Lee and Haley show, like funny things, but sometimes they're planned or kind of there's guidelines put out. We have the rarest of moments where none of us know something's going to happen, and it is so delightful. And this is one of those moments. And these moments are the ones that viewers, you guys always write in and say, was that real?
Mm-hmm.
This was real. So we were having a simple discussion about
bank candy.
Bank candy. Because I grew up and they had these safety suckers, which was the loop instead of the stick that the sucker was on. It was the loop. And so you could hold on to it. And I was saying those, when my mom would go to the bank, if she wasn't driving away with the box and driving over it.
And I got frustrated by that because I've been banking since I was 2.
Yeah.
And every bank that I've been to provides you with dum-dums.
Yes.
Because those are cheap to buy and they put them in a basket and you grab a dum-dum or they give a kid a dum-dum.
I've been to banks with dum-dums.
At the drive-thru.
Yeah.
But we got into. You were telling me that there's some other sucker out there.
Yeah. I said they had other ones that were these safety ones. I was like, they have these? And you were like, no, they're not. And I was like, yes, they are. You said they're all dum-dums. What do you think? They're giving out blow. He means to say they're giving out blow pops. But
I said, wait, are they giving out blow pops? Is what I thought I was about to say.
But he said with full confidence from his chest, now, wait a minute. At your bank, you tell me they're giving out blow jobs? And I was like, no. And he catches his breath. We're on television in the daytime. We're a daytime TV show. You can't say things like that without getting fined. The shame, the panic, the backpedaling. I just lift up my scripts in front of my face, just pouring tears, crying, laughing. And then you say, I love the bank after that. And I said, yeah, I bet you do. You said, I'm always in the drive-thru.
That went on for another 5 minutes of crazy laughter. And
yeah.
So we taped the show. So we were fortunate enough that we could
bleep.
We could bleep it. So we could still keep the moment in there, though.
Yeah. Where you said, so we it said blow bleep.
And I think the crew wanted to bust, and I wouldn't let them. I'm like, no, no, we're going to hang in here, because they were playing the music, like, you know, like they normally do when we bust. I'm like, no, we're not.
Yeah, like, and bust, if you don't know TV terms, means we're going to scrap that, just delete Start that over. Entire segment and re-record it again. Because our show is syndicated, we record the show. It's not live anymore because we air at different time slots throughout our four states that we air in. So we have to record it ahead of time. And so that does give us the luxury of, if something does go technically wrong or terribly wrong, like someone says blowjob, if we want to, we can re-record. But in this case, it was just so hysterical, we didn't want to re-record because we knew we could bleep the part that would get us in trouble on TV.
I think we could probably, we could add a link to that. Can't we, Nua? We could add a link. Yeah, sure we can.
In the description box, box of the YouTube channel?
Yeah, because I know where it is.
If you're listening to this podcast, also know that you can watch the video version right now on the Kentucky Sports Radio YouTube channel. So you can watch it there as well. Drop comments below. And also, if we can, post that link in the description box to that segment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great. That was great. Just the other day, I said C-O-C-K on the show. I'm too embarrassed to even say it right now.
Yeah, well, that was a mispronunciation.
It was. Right. I said it. We were playing Incoherent, which is that, you know, those games were, where things are written in a way and they sound like a normal phrase, but they're written in funny words and different sections of a word, and you have to say it really fast to understand what it says. And whatever we were saying, I was saying it over and over again, trying to hear what it was. And I said C-O-C-K on accident. And one of our friends, Devin, had watched the episode and texted me the next day when he saw the episode and was like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And he said, your face was ridiculous. Because I just panic. Mm-hmm. When you say things unexpected like that you know could potentially get you in trouble with the FCC, it's like, you appreciate the humor of it and the unexpectedness, but also you're like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
We got to get it together. We got to get it together. You've worn camo 3 days this week.
Have I? Is this camo, too?
This is camo. This is navy camo. You've worn three camo pullovers. I'm trying to keep a low
profile.
Yeah, you wore a green camo, white camo, and now blue camo.
Yeah, I didn't realize
that. It's just your
that.
Head and hands.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like camo.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like the white one I had on yesterday.
Yeah, I have some white camo leggings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
I've seen those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're from Athleta, they're my favorite leggings brand.
Yeah.
If Lululemon wants to slide a pair to a girl, I'll wear them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm an Athleta truther.
Yeah. I don't think I'll wear leggings.
And but we thank you for that.
We'll wear some Lululemon pants. I've seen them.
Yeah, they got a great men's line.
Somebody gifted me some Lululemon pants.
It's a nice gift. You write a thank you note?
No. I just said thank you.
Well, I guess that's fine. Yeah. So you did a verbal thank you note.
Yes. I did.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. What else? What's going on?
Anyway, I was in Vegas.
Yep.
And I encouraged the guys I was with to go see the Rat Pack tribute show, because I'm a big fan, as you know, of Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and those guys. And I said, let's go. And then, well, our buddy gets us tickets, and it's at this casino called Tuscany. I've never heard of Tuscany.
Yeah.
Sounds, you know, nice, using the Italian word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's off the strip, not in the Fremont where the Rat Pack show used to be, where, you know, which was great because that was old Vegas anyway. No, it's off the strip. And over there where the Sphere is, kind of in that area, you can see it. And I'm like, what is this place? And it's a rinky-dink casino.
Mm-hmm.
The showroom is even worse. I mean, it literally looks like a place you'd do a presentation for.
Timeshares.
Or multi-level marketing.
Oh, love that.
They have a pull-down screen in front of the stage. And I'm like, oh, my God, what have we gotten into? I'm sorry, guys. I'm apologizing. This is not going to be good.
Yeah.
But when they lift the screen, there is probably, because the last time I saw them, there was a 17-piece orchestra. Now there's like a 9-piece band, and they're all great.
Okay.
But what's even better, with the performers that really captured who Frank Sinatra, especially vocally, was, and the guy, the kid, his real name is Drew. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, he was fantastic as Dean Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I sat there like a little kid because I had front row seats by myself, by the way, because the guys were too afraid to sit next to me. They sat behind me. But I sat there and they would come shake my hand when they were singing and stuff like that. And I loved it.
Yeah.
I just purely entertained. I didn't have to think about the inner workings or what's happening with lights or any of the nonsense I always have to deal with, or when I'm doing comedy, which I did last week in Louisville. It just, it was wonderful to be transported back in time.
That's wonderful.
I'm working on bringing the Dean Martin guy here.
Oh, really?
We talked after the show, and he likes to tour, and he wants to do different theaters, and he said we can make that happen.
That would be so fun.
Yeah.
Dean. Mm-hmm. Love it.
I do, too.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Just had a great time.
Yeah.
That was the best night.
Okay.
There, for yeah. me.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been to Vegas in a few years. I one time went for New Year's with my mom and my sister. A client of my dad's owned a condo there on the Strip. And so we got to go and stay for free. And it was really, really fun. That was probably in like 2014, 15, something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's, and then I went one time for like a weekend a couple years later. But that's, that was, so it's been a very long time since I've been there. And I really want to go because I want to see the Sphere in person. Mm-hmm. Another one of my friends just went to the Sphere to see a show. I don't even know what it was. She was switching pictures from inside the Sphere. Because it looks so cool on the outside. But on the inside is what I really want to see. Like, I so want to go to a show there.
I've seen images of, like, the U2 concert where they made it look like Red Rocks out in Colorado. It looked fantastic.
Yeah.
So the golf course I played is inside the Strip, and you see the Sphere mm-hmm. a lot mm-hmm. at different holes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of cool. My favorite moment was because my window, I had a view of the Sphere out my window, and was late at night, it would just be the moon.
Mm.
And it looked like the moon had landed.
Like on Earth.
On Earth, and there it was.
Mm-hmm.
Teeny tiny. I heard a statistic the other day, which I can't comprehend, but for some reason, someone claimed you could line the planets up next to each other, and they would all fit. All nine planets would fit between us and the moon.
Oh, really?
And think about how big Jupiter is. Not to mention Uranus.
Huge. I don't know. I can't speak to that. I have no.
Somebody said that.
Maybe they did. I also saw a fact yesterday, and it showed Pluto in relation to the size of Brazil, and it said Brazil versus Pluto. And someone replied and said, I didn't even know they had beef. See? Now you know. Mm-hmm. Poor Pluto. Remember, you know, you reach the highest highs. You're a planet. Not anymore.
Yeah.
We don't recognize you anymore.
I still do.
You still do. And that means a lot to Pluto.
It should.
Yes.
What, are we just going to call it a what? An asteroid?
I don't know. Is it a star? An asteroid?
No, it's not a
dead
star.
What do they call it?
It's not a dead star.
Oh, well, no. I don't know.
No, they're considering it like a moon or an asteroid.
Oh.
Just a,
it's just a
rock floating
out there.
No, it should be a planet.
I get very self-conscious when people point at the sky and they're like, look, it's the Big Dipper. And I can never see any of it.
No, yeah.
People that point, what are they, Orion's Belt, mm-hmm. the Big Dipper, Little Dipper. I can never decipher it. And I lie and often say, oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
I get very self-conscious. Like, that's a panic moment for me when it's the same thing when someone says something and I say, excuse me, and they say it again. And I'm like, I still have no idea what they said. And I'm like, what? And then they say it again. Once they've said it three times, I'm like, well, I guess we're not speaking the same language. They're speaking English. I just, for some reason, can't understand it, and there's no way forward. It's the same thing when someone says, look, do you see that? And I'm like, no, where is it? By the time they point out the third time, I'm just fully lying. I'm like, yes, look at it.
Well, yesterday, I was looking out the window, and Nikita and I thought we saw either something on fire or a neon light.
Okay.
And we were trying desperately to figure out till somebody else walked in. It may have been new. I don't know. And yes. They said, that's a road sign. It was. It was a hazardous Bridget. It was a hazardous road sign. What Bridget? Of course, Nikita and I.
And you,
we
thought,
share reading glasses. You know.
I was gonna say you two. Your eyes look great, but don't see well.
Yeah, I don't know what I thought that was, but it was just above the horizon.
And it was you a glow, it was an orange on glow, fire and light.
What is? Because they're building a new hospital over there, and I thought they've got the sign up already.
Well,
what does that
this.
Say? Or was it Cabela's doing something? I couldn't tell.
Sure.
No, it was only like 30 yards away, and it was just clipped by the road.
And was Bridget like, you two?
Yeah. She said, it's time for your old medicine.
Yeah, she was like, now lay down, let's take our afternoon pills.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And she put an Afghan over top of me.
She put an Afghan over you. All right, do you need your potty break?
No. Do we need to take one?
Well, I don't know.
Oh. No, I'm good.
In a second, we're going to do our questions. You want to do it now?
Sure, we can do it now.
Okay, let's do it now.
All right, so the staff, and by the way, if you would like to ask us a question or you want for us to discuss a topic, you can write to us at ideas at leeandhaley HayleyHaley.com, and that's H-A-Y-L-E-Y. She spells it weird, I know.
I had no control over that.
Yeah.
Who am I named after? I've told you this like 50 times.
Haley Mills.
Yes, that's right. Haley Mills, the lovely actress from Pollyanna and the original Parent Trap. My dad had a crush on her when he was a kid, and so when I came along, he wanted to name me Haley and said it had to be spelled the same way she spelled it.
All right, this is from Bridget. She says, weirdest place, it's on theme, weirdest place you've ended up on a night drinking. I ended up at someone's house I didn't want to be at once.
Oh.
And I had to take them home. And I didn't want to stay there, but I ended up staying. They wanted me to stay. I didn't want to stay, but they wanted me to stay.
This feels very confusing. So well, you went out with someone, you ended up at their house, and you didn't want to stay.
Yes.
You had to take them home.
And I couldn't tell you how to get back there to save my life now.
Okay. But you had to stay.
Yeah, well, I didn't have to, but I mean, I was like very tired. It was late, and I'm like, I'll sit here on the couch. Next thing I know, I'm kind of falling asleep.
Sure, sure.
And then I left in the morning, but that walk of shame, and there was no need to have a walk of shame because I didn't do anything.
Right, sure.
Wrong or right.
Or
I didn't do anything.
The night was a bust.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to be there, like I said.
Yeah. I always end up at home. I've never ended up anywhere that I've been like, oh, God, this was terrible, like, or anything bad like that. I somehow always make it home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then our next one. This comes from Nua. Why hasn't Lee got a dog yet?
It's a good question. Why haven't you gotten a dog yet? For you love dogs.
I love
the
dogs.
Entire time I've known
so
you, which
much.
Is 10 years, you love dogs and always say, I may get one.
I just spent time with Misty the weather dog.
ABC 36 meteorologist Dylan Godet's dog.
Yeah, I spent some time with her a while ago.
Yeah.
Giving her an ear massage.
Oh, and did she respond favorably?
She loved it.
Is she the one who's, you had to take her home and you ended up staying?
Yeah. No, I don't get a dog because I don't think it'd be fair to the dog because I'm not home as much as I would have to be to give the dog attention.
Mm.
And I don't want to lock a dog up in a place by themselves all day and night. I don't think that's fair.
So you'll never get a dog?
Probably. Maybe if I end up, you know, acquiring a family along the way, then
I'm going to get a dog and a family.
Yeah. But I think the family would have to come first.
I've asked you this before, I think, on our TV show, but let's talk about if for some reason one day you get a dog, top three breeds, what would you get? Like out of, if you started to look for a dog.
Yeah. I don't really care. I'm not a breed guy. I think mutts are smarter. I think they're better. So I really don't care. It could be anything. But I do like little Maltese dogs.
Okay.
I like those guys. I love big dogs, like Great Danes.
Wow. So Maltese up to Great Dane.
Yes.
Okay.
I love, like my dad's got an English Bulldog. Mm-hmm. I like that guy.
He's a big feller.
Yeah. They amuse me. They make me laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
I would prefer a dog that doesn't shed.
What if someone were to surprise you with a dog? How would that be for you?
I don't know.
Like you come home and there's just a dog
and
a box.
Is Ollie not getting along with you or something? You want to give me Ollie?
Never.
Okay.
Ollie will live forever.
My dad. I'd take Ollie.
My dad, the retired veterinarian, has assured me that he will keep Ollie alive at my same lifespan.
Wow, that's not good for you.
Yeah, I'll be gone soon.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Okay.
Here's our next question. Comes from Nikita Jennings. She says, if you were in charge of the playlist, what would you play next? I'd like that Dua Lipa Barbie song. I like that.
I listened to that in the car on the way to work this morning. As soon as it comes on, it puts me in a good mood.
I do like that too.
Dance. It's just that. Mark Ronson.
Mark Ronson knows how to do it.
Did you know Mark Ronson, the music producer, he is married to Meryl Streep's daughter?
You told me that.
Yes, one of Meryl Streep's daughters is married to Mark Ronson, who wrote and produced Dance the Night, as well as many other hit songs. Uptown Funk. But yeah, they are married, and they just had a baby, I think, last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Right now, I'm listening to that. And actually, Dua Lipa, because I listened to that, I'm new to Spotify, so I'm getting all these recommendations. I love it. I listened to IDGAF.
What is that?
I don't give. By Dua Lipa.
I like,
oh, it's so good.
Anything Dua Lipa does, I'm buying.
Sure.
I like that Korean kid. He was in that boy band, BTSD or whatever it's called.
It's just BTS.
Anyway.
BTSD sounds like PTSD, but what would the B be?
The B?
Yeah. If it was because it would be post traumatic stress disorder. If it's BTSD.
Body.
Body traumatic stress disorder.
Yes. Which I suffer from.
Yes.
No, he's got that. It's, you know, it's not clean. Well, I'm sure there's a clean version, but the version I got is the name of the tune is Seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that one.
Okay.
I was listening to the other day, Peter Gabriel, In Your Eyes. I kind of heard that I hadn't heard that forever. And I forgot how much I like that song.
Hmm.
That's a good one.
Okay. I also recently, I've been listening to Adele a lot more. Obviously, I listen to Taylor Swift more than anything else. Yes. But no, Easy on Me. Water Under the Bridge is my jam. It's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
I just am dancing the whole time. Anytime it comes on, I'm like,
What about her follow-up, Damn Buster?
Damn Buster.
Yeah, it starts with Water Under the Bridge.
Water Under the Bridge and then Damn Buster.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's another one from Nikita. What always makes you smile?
My order being delivered by Sephora. That always makes me smile. Whenever I see a Sephora package on my front porch, even though I know what's in there, I'm still like.
Makes you happy, huh?
Beauty products are one of the life's simple joys for me. I love them so much.
Certain people make me smile, you know, when I see them. They walk in the room and I kind of grin because they make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just make me happy. Mm-hmm. It's been people that I've worked with or have known that always made me feel better, you know.
Yeah. That's always good to have people in your life that can just lift you up at any time.
Yeah. Don't you have one from Mason?
I do. So Mason, one of our editors on the Lee and Haley Show, he is fantastic, sent us this one last week and we didn't get to it. So we're going to do it today. It's really good. How do you feel about high and low maintenance friends? Hmm. And what do your friends or what do you think your friends think you are? So let's talk high maintenance and low maintenance friends. What do you think about that?
I got a high maintenance friend.
Okay.
As you know. I have to babysit him quite a bit.
Sure. Okay.
You know,
sure.
He's high maintenance.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't care. I mean, if you love somebody and you care for them, what does it matter if they're high or low maintenance? I mean, it's just what it is. That's the dynamic of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm low maintenance. I don't think I need or want anything from anybody.
Yeah, I think you're a low maintenance friend. There's no stress around when the last time we talked or when the last time you got together was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think your friends kind of know your business, things like that. Yeah. My anxiety is too high for high maintenance friends. Like friends that make you feel guilty if you haven't called or haven't texted them or if you haven't seen them enough where I can't stand that. That is what a high maintenance friend to me is, where it's like it's mainly based on guilt after a while, where they're guilting you into this friendship.
Well, I don't consider
guilting you into seeing and talking to them.
So someone who's doing that, obviously they're not important enough for me to talk to.
Mm.
So I wouldn't consider them part of the friendship.
Mm.
If they're going, man, what's the last time we got together?
Well, and this could be,
you've answered your own question.
This could be anyone in your life. If they're constantly guilting you, and I can't stand when people bring up, like, we haven't talked since this, or, oh, nice to hear from you. I'm like, this is why I don't want to talk to you. I can't stand that.
Yeah.
Low maintenance are the friends that you talk to whenever you talk to them. You pick up right where you left off. We all understand we're busy adults.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. I would like to think my friends think of me as a low maintenance friend. I think so. Like, we talk, we don't talk,
do.
We see each other, we don't see each other. We all appreciate each other's lives. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't put guilt on my friends when I haven't seen them or talked to them in a while because I don't want them to do that to me.
Mm. Yeah.
Who do you think is the most high maintenance on the Lee and Haley Show staff?
Let me think about that. It's not Bridget.
No.
It's really not Nikita.
Yeah.
It's probably between you and Nua.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought for sure you were going to say me. What about Nua as high maintenance?
He can get needy sometimes.
Okay.
He needs validation quite a bit.
Okay.
He's sitting right there, by the way.
He is, and he's doing a great job, and I want him to hear this.
And he's going to ask me, well, what do you mean, as soon as this is over?
So why'd you say that?
Why'd you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the TV show the other day, but if you haven't seen it, we were saying, what are things that our staff members always say? Because a lot of people, until someone points it out to you, you yourself, there's probably things you say all the time that you don't realize that you do. So we were saying, Nua's is, that's actually funny.
Mm-hmm.
He says that.
About himself.
About himself or you. Like if you make a joke, he'll be like,
Yeah, right.
That's actually really, he did it to me this morning. I made a joke about something.
Noah Day told me that he once said to Noah, he said, you know what? Lee's pretty funny. Like shocked by it.
That's his brand, bro. Yeah. That's hilarious. Now, that's actually funny. Yeah. I said, Bridget's is thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
If you tell her or give her anything or complete a task for the show or like, hey, I wrote that thing for you, she always says thank you, thank you. And it's so, it's like, you're welcome. It makes me feel good. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And then what is Nikita's? You did it.
Her brand? Oh, well, she.
She points her fingers and says, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
That's what she makes in her entrance.
Yeah. Yours is, insert anyone's name, but I'll say, Bridget, look at the calendar for me. You always say the person's name. Bridget, now I've put this on the calendar.
Yeah.
Your kryptonite is the Google Calendar. What's something I say a lot?
What, you say a lot?
Well, yeah, what's a thing that I'm always saying? And anyway, our staff is in here. Most of them are in the room right now. We're taping.
No, you say no a lot.
I say no a lot?
Yeah.
No. I say that like that. Yeah. No.
You do say that.
Yeah.
What is it you do? Oh, yeah, your crutch, and you. This is a recent crutch for you. You developed this like 6-8 months ago. You don't want, so Haley's not
whatever
really.
Whatever you say, I'm going to break it. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Haley doesn't really want to have the conversation with you. So she'll ask, you know, politely, she's learned how to navigate a conversation she doesn't want to have. Mm. And then while you're speaking, she's asked and she'll tell you, or you'll say something and she goes, what did you do last night or something? And I go, da-da. She always finishes it. Nice.
Oh, like I'm done with the conversation. I was just having pleasantries
nice.
And I'm over it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice. You say nice a lot. You kind of say it like Curly Howard of the Stooges. Nice.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That is so annoying. I got to quit doing that. What should I say if you're telling me one of your many stories that I have no interest in?
Well, you would repeat back what I said. That's the Dale Carnegie method. That shows interest.
Okay.
So if you were telling me a story about Ollie, then you go, so Ollie did this and that. And so how do you feel about that? That's
I'm
how.
I'm not your therapist. I'm not going to ask you how you feel about something.
That's why therapists do it. They want to know that they're engaged and listening
to you.
You're
going to have to pay me at the end of the conversation.
No, I'm not.
God bless therapists and God bless America. Mm.
Okay. Anyway, well, we ran out of time. Our guest was Barack Obama, but apparently we'll try to get him back next week.
We'll try to get him back next week.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. President.
And before we end, tell me one thing you're loving lately. A random product, a show, a service, a concept, a podcast. What's something you're loving before we close out?
Well, I dug Masters of the Air.
You start watching it?
Here's why I liked it. And okay. I'll talk about it on Hot Goss.
It's on Apple TV Plus.
Friday. Weekend watch list. I'm sorry. But I, what I loved about it, and I know it's an influence of Tom Hanks and Spielberg, is that because Hanks and Spielberg produced this, they had just to create atmosphere, they read the checklist that pilots do before they take off.
Oh.
Now, that doesn't really move the story along in any way, shape, or form.
Sure.
But they went through like 5 minutes of, you know, Bridget's boy, Barry Keoghan or mm-hmm. Cohegan, however you say his name.
From Saltburn.
And then that, Aaron Butler or whatever his name is, Elvis.
Uh-huh. Keep going.
What's his name?
You tell me.
Is it not Aaron Butler?
It's not.
What is it?
Let me do what you said a moment ago. Aaron Butler is wrong. How does that make you feel?
Why can't you tell me his name? Aaron?
Austin
Butler.
Austin Butler. One Austin time on Butler. The show, I think you called him Aaron Buckner.
Yeah. Well, that was Bill Buckner.
Austin Butler, yeah. He's
Austin Butler. Yes. Anyway, and they're just reading the list, and they went, because there's like 5 or 6 pilot groups, and they went from cockpit to cockpit to cockpit as they continued to read the list.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, isn't that nice? It creates atmosphere of what these guys are doing before they go up in the air and risk their lives to defend the world's freedom.
Mm.
It's a good show.
I listened to a podcast recently about a group of female military pilots, and they were nicknamed the Night Witches.
Mm.
I can't remember what country they were from, but I believe it was in World War II. They're from some European country. I can't remember. And they would always strike at night, and it was all female pilots led by one woman who was in her 30s. And she
during World War II?
I believe so.
Wow.
I just listened to it. I can't remember what country they were. But anyway, they were called the Night Witches by the other soldiers they were attacking and killing.
Yeah.
Because they would turn off their engines right as they approached their targets. So you couldn't hear them. You would only hear the wind against the plane, the sound that would make. And it sounded like they would say what they assumed witches sounded like coming in on brooms.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, something I'm obsessed with is the brand of this bodysuit that I got. It is all over TikTok and all over social media. It is the best Skims dupe you've ever found. The brand is Pumiey, P-U-M-I-E-Y. And I actually found it a couple months ago. I'm proud of myself, before it got really popular on TikTok. You can get it on Amazon or TikTok shop. The brand is Pumiey. They have a bazillion different kinds, and I'm obsessed with them.
Pumiey.
If you look up the ingredients, if you look up the material on Skims bodysuits, which will be like $100 or something, they're almost the exact same as this. And I love it. So
how much?
It's worth a try. This was like $25.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Anyway, check it out.
All right.
That's it. Thanks for listening to The Lee and Haley Show, or watching The Lee and Haley Overtime Podcast. We appreciate it. Follow us, or follow the Kentucky Sports Radio YouTube channel, so you can see the new episodes each and every week, the video version. And then also give us a like, follow, review.
And go see our friends at Damiano's.
Damiano's, our new sponsors. Go see them, located right there on UK's campus. Amazing pizza. Get the margarita pizza. You will not be disappointed.
Great place to watch the game. See you guys.
Bye.